on Love the things that are incredible obstacles in your life. I want you to lean on God and trust his flawless record. He never fails. He can do the impossible. How do I know? I've seen him do it.
Have no doubt, my God can do the impossible.
I know he can.
I know he can.
I've seen him do it.
I've seen him do it.
He can turn the mess you're in.
He
can turn it into an awesome miracle.
I know he can.
I've seen him do
it.
Whatever problem you got, just let it go.
If you just give it to God,
he'll work it out. How do I know? How do I know what God can do? I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it.
I've seen him do it.
I've lived long enough to see God do phenomenal things. So I wrote this verse to encourage you. When your back is against the wall, just know that God will come through for you. Listen.
When your life has gone straight, it was nothing coming you. When it's great, that's how God works.
He'll erase your past.
He'll erase your past.
If you repent.
People can't have a failure.
He's a provider. He's good.
Come on, think about what he's already done. And he's going to do it again. Don't wave your hands and think, I've seen him do it. I know you have your own testimony. I've seen him do it. Come on, Jimmy.
Seen him do it. I know he can do it, and he will do it. I've seen him do it. I've seen the grace of God work in my family. I've seen God's grace work in other people's family. I know he can do it. How I know? I've even tried him, and he'll work for me. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God. To all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus, I want to say I'm thrilled and happy that you're here today and you're part of this broadcast. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we'll get into it. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Your word says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will, your will concerning us in Christ Jesus. So we certainly thank you, Father God, for that. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for freedom. Freedom of guilt, of past, heavy hearts. We thank you, Father God, for freedom from having a guilty conscience, because therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and therefore there is no condemnation. So I thank you, Father God, and I know you put it on my heart, Father God. I know a lot of people are operating under guilt, and I just pray right now that that be removed from their lives, from their way of thinking, and that guilt. Know that they are not guilty, because you have set us free. You've delivered us, Father God, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I take a moment and I look back in time over all the mistakes I made, and even the selfish one, the deceitful one, I thank you, Father God, that you allowed me to be delivered from the deceiver, from the deception that the enemy used. I pray right now for those that are still being used by the devil. I pray that that be bind in their life. Then no longer be convicted by the things of Satan. No longer be dictated to by the things of Satan. But they'll only be dictated by what your word says. Why? Because we live according to your word. We live by your word. I pray for all the leaders right now, Father God, that they'll lead the people into truth, into your truth, not a truth, but your truth. I pray for those that are in the hospital, Father God, that have asked for prayer today, according to your word in Matthew 16:19, we've been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I ask you to loose your angels in a great abundance to that hospital, even around those that bedside, that's even in the on the same floor with that person, Father God, that asked for prayer. I thank you, Father God, for freeing up and healing Evangelist Renee. I thank you for that, allowing her to come home, breaking the chains that held her, breaking the things that the enemy had lied. And we know, Father God, by your stripes, we are healed. She's healed. She's delivered. She's set free. I thank you, Father God, for restoring, for the ability to restore. Thank you, Father God, for your restoring mercy, for your restoring grace. Because it's in that, Father God, that we learn whose we are and what we are. I thank you for it. Praise you for it. Give you the honor and the glory. Pray, Father God, for the ones who are lost and can't find their way back. We pray, Father God, that you send angels their way, especially the loved ones. And those that never, Father God, never did like the prodigal who left and went out. But those that have been right there and still refuse to accept your way. I bind that up right now in the name of Jesus, that they'll be united with the true and living God. Thank you for your hedges of protection around us. Thank you for it, Father God, for protecting us, our family, and our friends. So I thank you for that, and thank you for your healing power. Pray right now, Father God, that someone will, after they have heard the message today, that they'll be stronger and that they will unite themselves in your way, in your true and living way. And I ask all of these blessings in Christ's name and his sake we pray. And everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brother and sister, this is the review for all of us. So if anybody have anything they want to share, press 1 and we'll let you in. Because it's not just my review, it's all our reviews. We're going over some of the things that we had talked about this week. A lot of things I had made a list of, some of the things that we had made a list of for the week, some of the notes that I kept. I guess I might say, well, you ought to keep notes. Well, no, all of us, this is for all of us, not just for mine, just for me. But I felt like all of us sometimes get stuck in a place. So we had given words of encouragement to get that person unstuck. A lot of us are unbalanced. So God has allowed us to give words to balance our lives spiritually, mentally, socially, and intellectually, and physically, because it's by his stripes we are healed, and that means we are healed totally. Well, I'm excited about the Word of God, but like I said, it's things that we talked about this week. I'd like for everyone to, if you have anything to say, like I said, just press one. And we'll go over some of the things that we talked about this week. Don't know in some particular order, but we talked about this week about ministering the grace of God. Why? Because we are saved by grace. And we'll start with that first. I think that was over there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. So we'll go there. And first, Ephesians 2. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. That's Evangelist William Missouri from the Messenger Bible. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and verses 9. Reads like this. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. Evangelist William, are you able to read out the Messenger Bible?
Yes. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 from the Messenger Bible. Saving is all his idea and all his work. All we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go through bragging that we've done the whole thing. Amen, amen.
Amen. So we're saved by his grace through faith. And we looked at grace for a little bit, knowing that grace is God's unmerited favor. We talked about that a little bit, knowing that grace is what saved us. I want y'all to look at this scripture again. Look at it through the eyes of revelation knowledge. For by grace are ye saved. So everybody has to be saved through the grace of God. Well, if some people don't know about the grace of God, you may think they do, you may assume they do, you may say, how can somebody live here for 40, 50 years and not know? How can somebody, there are people been here 100 years. There are people who been around the church and in the church, but don't really know about the grace of God. Now, they know about joining churches. They know about tradition. They know about ritual. They know about all of this. But very few people, mark my word when I tell you this, really understand the grace of God. Well, we won't get into that today, but let me remind you all that grace is what God used to save us. And his grace is what we use to minister. Ain't nothing we own. Ain't nothing we have. It's a gift of God. And ain't nothing you go by bragging about. Because, you know, a lot of times folks, they want to brag about what they know. I was so happy Evangelist Sharon said what she said on Thursday. It blessed my heart. Sometimes you got to forget about what you know, baby. Sometimes you got to forget about your education. Sometimes you've got to forget about your degrees. Hang them on the wall. Because it's by grace that you're saved. And it's that same grace that saved you will to minister to grace about. So we talked about that a little bit. And we'll go back there and visit that as well. But we're going to read from... Ephesians 2. I think we did verses 8 and 9. So let's add 10 to that so you can get a real understanding of what I'm being ready to tell you. 10 said, for by his workmanship created in Christ unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That's the 10th verse.
Amen. Ephesians 2:10 from the Messenger Bible. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He created each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Amen, amen.
So we're his workmanship created in Christ in the spirit. This spiritual stuff, again, this spiritual stuff. We've been created for this good work. So what is the good work? Ministering grace, the same grace he talking about, that we should walk in it, we should live after it. It's the same grace. And God expect for us to be about his business. That's saving souls, seeking and saving souls. I better add that to it so everybody understand. Not only do we save, but we should be seeking, looking for souls to save. And you can't allow your intellect to interfere. Remember we talked about a scripture, and we'll go there too. Because one of the things in the book of Isaiah 1:19, we have to, you know, we so much have to pay attention to the word if over there in Isaiah 1:19. Because if is a possibility word, you may not be willing, then you might be to seek and save those that are lost. That may not be the call that you think you ought to be doing, because that's the way the enemy tell people, oh, that ain't what you're supposed to be doing. You know what you're supposed to be doing. Now, he want us to think that way. See, there's a path that leads to destruction. There is a, and it ain't designed to reach God. It's designed to lead to destruction. And then the incredible thing about this is that everybody can't see this stuff because it's revelation knowledge. But in Isaiah 1:19, it says, if you are willing and obedient,
amen. Isaiah 1:19, that's in the Bible. If you're willing to obey, you'll feast like kings. Amen, amen.
Yeah. So we talked about if is a possibility where you may not be willing and obedient. You might just be willing and not want to go through the obedient part. Because it's very possible to live in life and have a willing spirit, but not go through with it. See, that's what obedience means, going through with it. You may not be willing. You may be willing, but not willing to go through. You're just willing, but not willing to go through. Let me explain what that means. See, coach yesterday gave a play where they was all willing, but they wasn't willing to go through with it. So a lot of times you can be willing to do a thing, but not go through the whole thing. In other words, man, I see something different now. I ain't going to do it. Because you're not obedient. You're not willing to go through all the way through. And so what he said, when you understand this word, if, is a big word in the Bible. Told y'all it's 528 times it mentioned. it speaks directly to our responsibility. When it comes to receiving from God, often God people will say, if you do this, I'll do that. And I'll start at the very beginning of your relationship with the Lord. And we talked about that in Romans 10:9-10. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you shall be saved. See, a lot of people, they're willing to speak it. I mean, they're willing to think it, but not willing to speak it. But if you accept these conditions, the promise of salvation is with you. Why? Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God is risen from the dead, you shall be saved. So if you were believing for something today, whatever it is, doesn't matter, financially, healing, deliverance, restoration, relationship, there is a promise for you in the Word of God. And one way or another, it is attached to an if. Yes, so many Christians stand on the promises of God believing to receive, but don't fulfill the main question, the particulars. They like the idea of casting in all of God's promises, but never want to do what it requires. They go to sleep on that. Well, I did this, I did that. But that ain't what the Bible says. That's why so many people would declare, I am healed, and not, a lot of them don't want to go through with the fact or keep on confessing, by his stripes I'm healed. And then there are others that do. But a lot of times people want to declare and decree, I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, you know, over in Deuteronomy 28:13. But they forget all of the rest of that verse. If you heed the commandment of the Lord your God, they forgot that. So if you standing on the promise of being the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, in your job, in your finances, whatever you're standing in, check out the word if. Very important to know that there's a word called if. Which command of all of us, just like loving, we were talking about, I think that was over there in First Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. First Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. It reads like this. Love suffer long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not puff itself up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinking no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoice in truth. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. But where there are prophecy, they shall fall. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away.
1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Doesn't have a swollen head. doesn't force his stuff on others. It's always me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of the things of others. Doesn't reveal when others gravel. Doesn't pleasure in the flowering of fruit. Put up with anything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never look back. But keep going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. Amen, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And then we talked about what love does. We're to have the God kind of love. We're going to minister in the ministry of reconciliation. We're going to have to minister in grace and by grace. But remember, this grace that we're talking about is the God kind of grace. So when we talk about love, we're talking about the God kind of love, that you lay down your life for your friend. Greater love have no man than this, that he lay down his life. I better go find that scripture. It's in the book of John. A lot of times people want to talk about agape love, phileo love. But the greatest love a man can ever have. I always like to think about that great love. The great love is to love like God say to love. And if you're going to love like God say to love, then you will be required to love like Christ. In John 15:3, let's go there for a moment. In John 15:3, because this week we didn't really get into it. We just kind of talked about it. But in John 15:13, I'm sorry, I said 3. I apologize. John 15:13. Great love have no man, or greater love have no man, than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend.
Amen. John 15:13, Message of the Bible. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friend. Amen, amen.
And in Mark 12:31, he said the second is like, namely, this, that thou love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This is what God say to do, not what Lewis say to do. This is what God say to do. The greatest kind of love you can ever have is to imitate Christ. And to imitate him is to lay your life down for your neighbor, for your friend. That's what God expects out of us, to operate in a greater kind of love. And when you do that, you're operating under the grace of God. See? And that's what you want to do. Remember Ephesians says, we're saved by grace. That's how people get saved, is by grace. Not just you now. Remember that. Everybody gets saved by grace. Not just a few folks. Everybody gets saved by grace. The Father want us to do this. Jesus said he operates in the Father's kind of love. Remember he said over there in John 14:28, Jesus was telling the people about the different kind of love. And finally he said, now you've heard how I've said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. He said, now if you love me, you will rejoice because I say I go to the Father. For my Father is greater than I. So if you love God, you accept what he say. That's pretty much what that scripture is saying, okay? That's pretty much what that scripture is saying. Let's see. Another thing we kind of got into that I kind of enjoy was if you're going to operate in the grace of God, we talked a little bit about you have to call those things to be not as though they were. And we were talking about at this time, at this moment, if you're operating in the grace of God, you got to be able to call those things to be not as though they were. And if you're not willing to do that, then you can't operate in the ministry of reconciliation. Well, we'll get to that in a moment, because that was part of it. And in order to do that, you can't know people after the flesh. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You can't know people after the flesh. I think the Messenger Bible said we got it all wrong before, trying to know people after the flesh. If you're going to minister in the grace of God, you can't know people after the flesh. You got to know people based on what the Word of God says, okay? That's how that works. And that's to know them after the flesh, because if so, you ain't going to want to minister grace to them. You know why? Because you're going to be trying to minister to them stuff that the flesh is going to tell you. Well, you know, this person was a drunk. This person was a whoremonger. This person was a backbiter. This person, da, da, da. So you referencing to the flesh all the time, you'll never be able to get to the spirit. So we were talking about it's time that we call those things to be not as though they were. Not tomorrow, not when things look, you know, better, but right now. That's where it starts at, right now. You're being standing and believing, you know, well, you know, I'm just believing God's going to get her saved. No, you need to go minister to him. Oh, Pastor, you know, we believe in for, no, don't believe in that. If you believe in, go act on it. See, that's why I don't let people just tell me, oh, well, you know, we believe in for the, no, if you believe for the finance, give them something. I know that don't fit into everybody, but it's time that we call those things to be not as though they were. Listen, brothers and sisters, we were created to minister. We was created for that. Every one of us. And we were given that gift to minister. What gift is that? Grace. Grace is the greatest gift. Don't worry about folks singing. Okay? Don't worry about how good people are with finances. Don't worry how good people is with knowledge. How about us learning to do it the way the scripture said? And you get started by operating in victory. Victory is calling those things to be not as though they are. They wasn't. Or calling those things to be not. It's how you build your faith. And we went over a few of those scriptures, too. We won't go over a lot of them today because we went over some of them already. But you have to start calling those things as though they were, man. The things that be not the things that is, but the things anybody can call the things the way they see it. But how about calling those things to be not as though they were? That's where we got to get to. If you're going to start ministering in God's grace, like he told us to do. I think Evangelist William read a scripture a moment ago, said we better start doing it. We better start being about God's business. That's over there in Ephesians 2. Yeah, that's what the Messenger Bible said. Better start doing it. But we just start with Mark 11:23. It reads like this. Oh, okay. Before we start, Pastor, you had something want to talk about on the review?
Not at this time, Pastor.
Okay. Would you like to read from the King James Version?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Read Mark 11:23-24. Mark 11:23-24 from the King James, and Evangelist William, she's been reading from the Messenger Bible.
Amen. Mark 11:23-24 from the King James. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen.
Amen. Mark 11:23-24, Messenger Bible reads, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or silly sallying, and it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from the small to the large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God everything. Amen, amen.
Amen. That's how it starts. It starts with Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. It starts by calling those things to be not as though they were. So you call yourself saved. When you're ministering to other people, they'll say the same thing you'll say. You start with confession. So we're going to read Romans 10, 9, and 10.
Reading from the King James, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen.
Amen. Romans 10:9-10 from the Message Bible. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul. God's works of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right, and then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
So just like we have to minister that. That's what we was ministered to. So that's what you have to minister to other people. Have them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus. Have them to believe in their heart. Well, how are they going to believe, in something they don't know anything about? How that's going to happen? Well, that's going to happen because they're going to get in the Word of God. That's why a lot of people, that's what's wrong with a lot of folks that go to church. They don't never, ever get past that, confessing with their mouth what the Word of God says. And that's everything. That's just one thing. So as we minister, remember, brother and sister, this is our job. By grace, we are saved through faith. And it wasn't of ourselves, not of work, because any man will brag about it. But the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Amen.
We've been created for a good work, and that's why it's time that we be about our Father's business. This was God who ordained that we should walk in there. Read Ephesians 2 and 10 again. from the King James, then read it from the Messenger Bible. Listen, brothers and sisters, you got to hear this with your spirit. He's talking to us. And if not now, then who is he talking to? If it's not us, then who? Explain
Amen.
To me. But in Ephesians 2 and 10, read that, Pastor, please.
Okay, Pastor. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen.
Amen. Ephesians 2 and 10, Messenger Bible reads, no, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does, the good work he has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. Amen, amen.
Amen.
He created us to operate in his grace. He created us to work in his grace. He prepared us for this. He did it before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
That's a good word. If I said this is a good word, ain't no bad word. It's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
Good work we ought to be doing.
Yeah.
And it's time that we do that. Well, what is that? Operating in the grace of God, man. Ministering grace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And then she said, we better be doing it.
Amen.
We better be doing it. Let me tell you what. This work, and I guess I'll go ahead and go there now. This work of ministering reconciliation, that word, well, what 2 Corinthians 5:19 say?
Okay.
2 Corinthians 5:19. So I want you to see that you have the authority to do it. Just don't be willing, but do it. A lot of folks are willing, but they don't want to obey. God expect that out of us.
Yes. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God is in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:19, Messenger Bible read, God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. Amen, amen.
Amen.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. We read that one more time, Evangelist, will you? Please.
Yeah.
Somebody did it.
2 Corinthians 5:19, God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's a task God given us, not to blame people, not to condemn people. See, that's what Satan does. He always finding fault. Our path, the thing God have given us, is to merge people back to him, to let people know that God ain't mad at you. Our task is that God is saying there is no conflict now.
You're free
now.
Thank you.
That's the task on our life. God ain't mad at us. Stop letting people tell you that. Our job is to bring people back to God. Can't make it no plainer than that. And what are we going to use? I'm glad you asked. How about God's grace? How about the grace of God is what we use? That's what we use.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
That unmerited favor. The same thing that God, listen, brothers and sisters, to reconcile is to restore a friendship or to bring in harmony, if you will. Now, let the people know, it ain't your fault. Man, if y'all be honest, it ain't your fault you were born in sin. Ain't your fault. That ain't your fault because you have a sin nature. Maybe not this coming week, but the next week, we need to talk about the two natures. Because if you're going to reconcile people back to God, you got to know there's another nature. The nature that we operate in is the one that we live in until you get born by the word of God. You operate there. You never get into the spiritual. I don't care how much you confess it, talk it. It doesn't become real until you get born of the word of God. So how are you going to restore people to friendship of harmony? Well, by God's grace. That's what we're using. We're operating under God's grace. God have always did reconciliation. It ain't nothing new. Between God and man, he made an atonement. Between God and man, that was Jesus Christ's mission. And we might talk about that next week. Between God and man, propitiation, he gave a sin offering, which was Christ. So this stuff can't just be washed under the rug. This stuff just can't be thrown away. No, this is real, man. It was between God and man. That's what redemption is. That has to be now, not over there. It was between God and man. Remember Matthew?
Yeah.
God reconciled us. Remember Matthew 5:23-26. Read that, Pastor. I'm kind of getting into next week's lesson. But I want y'all to see this stuff, man. I want y'all to see that's our job, is to reconcile. And we got all kind of track records. We got all kinds of things to show where between God and man, God has constantly been reconciling us, bringing us back. He's been doing that. But now it's our turn to do this good work, and this good work of ministering is reconciling people to God, not telling them what sinful ways they have. No, tell them to get with God and let God deliver them. That's how it had to happen. Yeah. Now, it's up to them to be willing to obey the Spirit. That's something you can't make nobody do nothing. But in Matthew 5:23-26, how that read in the King James?
Okay. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and their remembrance that thy brother hath talked against thee, leave there for the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled by thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy adversaries, excuse me, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Amen.
Amen. Matthew 5:23-26, Messenger Bible read, this is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God. Or say, you're out in the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even jail. If that happens, you won't get out without a stiff fine. Amen, amen.
And so what this scripture is telling us, between man and man, that reconciliation was done in the Old Testament. There's always been reconciliation between Esau and Jacob. Over there in Genesis 33, verses 4 and 11. You don't have to go there. But I'm trying to show you that reconciliation have always been in Scripture between Pilate and Herod. Over in Luke 20, reconciliation has to be made. Have always been made. God have always taught that. It's always been peace. God have always taught that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Remember, in I think it was Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus, 8 chapter, 15th verse. Now, if you get a chance, read it out. But I want to make a point how the reconciliation has always been. God have always taught it. So as we get into this, you'll see it. But in Leviticus 8 and 15, what'd that say, Pastor?
Okay. Leviticus 8 and 15. Then the King James. And he slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar, and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar, and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. Amen.
Amen. Leviticus 8:15 in the Messenger Bible reads, Moses slaughtered the bull and purified the altar by smearing the blood on each of the horns of the altar with his finger. He poured out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. He consecrated it so atonement could be made of it. Amen, amen.
Yeah. So see, God have always taught reconciliation. Moses was required to take his finger and purify the altar, and he poured the blood at the bottom of it. And the sacrifice, and it was called a sacrifice. Why? To make reconciliation, to make friends, to put back. I could tell y'all some other stories, but in Africa, what they did was, y'all heard that story about, and people used to do this in America, because I used to do it when I was real small. We would slit our wrists, and we would make covenant. We didn't know what it was really called, but we knew we were blood brothers. Yeah.
Amen.
Two end games, where you cut your wrist and you mix your blood together. You became blood brother. You reconcile. Whatever differences you had, you reconcile, and you become one. If somebody messed with you, they had to mess with me. If they messed with me, they had to mess with you. That's real, people. Mm-hmm. Real. Yeah. See, so reconciliation is real. You're restoring a relationship. You're restoring family. And over in England and other places, when people want to come back together, they would put blood in. They would take wine, and they would drink out the wine cup, and they would drink out their wine cup. Then they would mix their cups together, and then they would drink it. And some places in the Eastern Hemisphere, it's even worse because they actually take their blood and put it with the wine and mix it and then go back and forth like they do a shake and mix it together. And then they both would drink it and would symbolize that you got blood of my blood in you now. And that one would say, you got blood of my blood in you. That was all about reconciling.
Yeah.
Reconciling. Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 45, he said, and one lamb of the flock out of all the hundreds, God required Israel to make a burning offering and for peace offering to make reconcile of them. That's what God did. Little did we realize that that's what was going on with Cain and Abel. They were to bring a sacrifice to reconcile themselves back to God because their mom and dad had sinned so that they don't have to walk in that unrighteous state. God required them to bring a sacrifice.
Yeah,
that was reconciliation. So Cain got mad and slew Abel. And Abel blood cried out. And God went there because he knew he had reconciled to Abel. And the Bible says that he counted it for righteousness. So when you reconcile and you want to make right, you're being counted for righteousness. Well, y'all make me want to preach up in here. That's what that's doing. You're reconciling. You're putting it back together. God loved that. That's righteousness. When you are restoring somebody, that's the right thing to do. When you're restoring relationship, that's the right thing to do. When you ask for forgiveness, that's the right thing to do. That's what Satan won't do. Mm-hmm. It's easy to tell what spirit is in people. Because, see, if it's party spirit, if it's spirit that don't want to be restored, if it's something want to keep trouble, if it's a spirit that doesn't want to make amends, that's of the devil. You have to bind that mess up. That's of the devil. That's not God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Bible says over in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified freely, that we may have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what Jesus did. He reconciled us. He justified. He made it right. That's what justification means. Justify means to make right. He made the thing right. That's our ministry. That is our ministry, is to make things right between people and God and let them know. Hey, because a lot of them don't know it. A lot of them think that they're still condemned, that it's their fault. It's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people doing stuff, they don't even realize, you know, it's not even their fault. That sin is visiting them from the third and fourth generation. They mama, grandmama, granddaddy, somebody, and you count down four generations, somebody had that spirit. And now it done hit us. So you have to free yourself of that kind of stuff. And as you minister to other people, you have to free them of that. Because that spirit will visit them. When you learn about spirits, there are spirits that will visit you from your great-grandparents. You may not even did know it because you hadn't did the research. But that's what's going on. You just accept. That's the way life is. That's what's going on. No, it's more to it than that. Some history behind that, because people act out that way. And then nowadays, they blame everything on mental health. Now, these spirits will visit from the third to the fourth generation. If people look at things from a spiritual perspective, they'll stop trying to blame everything on mental health. But anyway, anybody have anything else they want to share, a scripture they learned from this week they want to share? It's impossible, I mean, for me to try to do it all the whole week in 30 minutes. Now, with God, all things are possible. So I just have to ask God to let it be revealed. Anybody have anything on this week that they want to share? Get anything out of it? Okay. So they said going once, going twice? Okay. Well, we'll see you all tomorrow for the Word at Noon.